Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me today. If you've been staying with me, if you've already been listening, we consider that a sign of a high intelligence. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. And you're going to be glad you hung out with us a little longer because our good friend Dr. Bill Dunkelberg is with us. Dr. Bill is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, going way back into the last century, as I remember. And Bill is a professor of economics at Temple University in the great city of Philadelphia, and former head of the entire business school there at Temple. Now he's also the chief economist for the NFIB, and every month he joins us to bring us the survey that he conducts of small business owners and has been doing now for more than 30 years. He's compiled this incredible record. Nobody on the planet has been polling small business owners about what they think about the economy and what they think is what they're excited about, what they're frightened about, longer than Bill Dunkelberg has. And we're so thankful and so grateful to have his wisdom and his experience and his survey available to us every month. And so he has it for us now. Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Made me sound like an old guy there with an old brain.
Well, you started when you were young, really young, right?
I did. I was young, actually.
You were young, weren't you?
Yeah.
Did you have any idea in those days? I mean, think about this, Bill. I know you have, but folks, you know, a lot of people today are getting excited about small business. But Bill, you know, I feel like I was excited about small business before small business was cool. I know you were, and I mean, 30 something years ago, who was the consumer of your information?
Well, that's a good question. We really all started trying to figure out how to get Congress to look at it. The point of our initial work was to bring attention to the importance of the small business community, mm-hmm. and to have a bunch of factual information about its condition and how well it was doing and the contribution that it was making to put in front of the faces of those people in Washington, D.C. who needed to pay more attention to small business and its important role and how it's different from big business.
I wonder if anybody, Bill, have you ever said, you talk to the talking heads on Wall Street and the broadcast business networks a lot. Have you ever said to them, guys, do you realize you're in the minority?
I do.
What do they say
about that all the time, especially for places like CNBC, who will cover our stuff for 5 minutes and then they'll spend forever talking to the CEO of a company that produces maybe as much, you know, output as 100 of our small businesses.
Exactly.
But still inconsequential compared to what small business does.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and with regard to the intrinsic value to the economy, meaning, you know, business owners, you said 100 of our business owners, those are business owners who the first time profits dip, they don't lay people off.
Rarely,
I mean, sometimes they have to, but I mean, basically, when profits dip, they take it on the chin. They don't, because they know the people they're employing. They know what their names of their children are.
Exactly, exactly.
And so, you know, I don't know what it's going to take to get small business owners. I feel like we're the Rodney Dangerfield of the marketplace, don't you?
And no respect.
Yeah, that's
no
exactly
respect.
Right. But you know what? I think that it's one of those things, Bill, where small business owners are sort of like that, that Western hero. He doesn't do a lot of talking. He just shows people by his actions. And I think we're going to be kind of like that because we just keep on working. We just keep on I think the main thing we do, Bill, is we believe in ourselves.
And we're too busy to get involved in all the other nonsense
that's
going on out there. That's why there's a huge credit problem and a big fancy schmancy banks in Wall Street and no problem really out on Main Street.
Well, what are your folks telling you about credit availability?
No problem. No problem. I mean, we had about the same number of firms tell us that all their credit needs were satisfied. So there was very little, you know, change there. I think when we ask about what's the most important problem facing your business today, we had 3% tell us that it was credit and availability and cost, and that was up from 2% in the last month.
Right.
What did worry us, of course, was that the percentage that inflation was the number one problem went all the way up to 14, where it used to be around 2 or 3% as well. So over the last year, we've seen a real swing there, and that's worrisome.
Right. One of the things that I think credit is affecting the marketplace is in the availability of credit to consumers for things that a year ago they would have bought on credit. Today, I think the credit practices are tightening up, not for small business owners, but for consumers with regard to certain purchases. We'll talk about this and other things with our good friend Bill Dunkelberg on the other side of these messages. Stay with us.
There's nothing small.
Only you can to make all this world seem right.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, Chief Economist for the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business, and we're talking about the economy. You know, Bill, one of the things that I've been noticing from talking to different folks and people who are in the business of selling things that maybe people don't need is that there is a tightening of the credit practices nationally for those kinds of things. Not so much if a small business owner wants to go to a bank and borrow money for a truck or a piece of property or working capital. And they go to especially if they go to an independent bank like the one that you formed there in New Jersey, and like the one that I do business with, Small Independent Community Bank. If you go to those kinds of banks, small business owners do not have a credit problem if they've got a viable business model and if they're credit worthy.
Absolutely, the case that we're finding out there. You know, there's no freezing up of the credit market, as the Fed likes to characterize the market there in Wall Street. People are willing to loan kind of in the normal course of business, and, you know, and everything is fine. So we get really no complaints that credit is harder to get.
Right.
Obviously, credit standards are tighter for a lot of consumer lending and mortgage lending, and they should be, since last year we didn't have any standards.
Right.
So it's a good
exactly.
thing that it's a good thing we tightened them up a little bit.
In fact, it was the opposite of standards. It was like they were trolling on the street.
But they were indeed doing that. That is a shame too, and they did that.
It is. And now we've had overreaction that way, and that's the reason why when we're tightening down, what we've done basically is we've taken the candy away for the little kids, and people are throwing little tantrums over it.
Yep. Yeah.
But the good news, I think, for the economy is that small business owners do have access to the capital that they need, especially if they know how to work with independent community banks. Now, nothing against the big banks, Bill, but now, as you know, Bill, for a long time, for more than a decade, I've been telling small business owners, you must have at least one, you need two banking relationships, and you must have one of them with an independent community bank.
I would agree with that. You know, I mean, again, you know, we tend to prefer relationship banking.
Yep.
And that means that, you know, somebody gets to know you. Well, at the big bank, nobody's really going to get to know you if you just as soon as you start to get friendly with your loan officer, he or she gets moved to another branch, and they're
right,
gone,
right.
And start all over again. You can't develop a relationship, which is really important to the credit granting process, especially as the economy goes up and down. The bank and the lending officer needs to know you and know you're dependable and know what your firm does, and then they're a steady source of credit for you.
Well, one of the points that I point out to my banker friends, especially my big business banking friends, my big bank friends, is that the most important thing that small business owners need bankers to take into consideration is our character. And there's no way to find character on the credit scoring model.
Exactly.
And somebody has to dial that in as a human being, and that's done more readily at independent community banks. Bill, let's move over and talk about the optimism index. You got a little bit of good news this month, don't you?
Well, it stopped going down. That was the good news.
That's my
really
point.
Important.
Yeah. Well, what I said before you got here is we might not like the number, but we got to like the trend.
Right, exactly. The trend was good. We saw the index gain a couple of points, and the nice thing was really that of the 10 components in the index, 9 of them went up or were unchanged. We had a particularly large gain in expectations for the economy 6 months out. We had an 11-point gain there. That was very good.
Mm-hmm.
The only one that went down was there was a 1 percentage point increase in the percent of owners who thought credit might be tougher over the next 6 months. So we didn't have 1 point deterioration there, but that's really minor. So it was really a very, very good report.
What about hiring? What are small business owners doing about hiring?
Well, the hiring plans are relatively weak compared to where we were a year or two ago. That was really terrific. Mm-hmm. But they are well above whatever we saw in past recessions. That's the key. So even though we've got kind of a recession index number, all 90-point readings in the index are not the same. Inside of that index, we've got very strong hiring relative to other below periods, and the percent of firms with a job openings actually went up a couple of points. So we have over 20% of our owners with at least one job opening. They're still trying to fill so they can produce some more GDP.
See, I think, Bill, that this is going to be the creation of the next downturn. One of the creations of the next downturns could possibly be because people can't get enough workers to do the jobs that they've got.
Well, that's certainly been our problem for a while.
Well, I mean, think about this, Bill. Let's say the economy, you know, starts turning up the end of the second half of the year, which I predicted that it would, and 09 is just we start rocking and rolling again. But we're literally have a lid on how much we can produce because we don't have enough people.
Yep.
What do you
well,
think?
Well, that's a concern, you know, especially with the baby boomer transition about to start. We're going to lose a ton of very experienced workers who, because they're really quite wealthy from an historical point of view, the baby boomers are in very good financial shape, will probably even be retiring earlier rather than later. And that's going to put a real squeeze on labor markets for us.
It's going to put a squeeze on labor markets, and it's going to be a draining of the brain trust of the marketplace.
Absolutely.
That I don't think the marketplace needs right now, frankly. But I'm going to do my part, Bill. I'm going to keep right on working, even though I am a member of the baby boomer generation. Quick break, Tintel. We come back. I'm going to ask Bill what he thinks the economy is going to be like in the future. And I'm also going to ask him if he thinks we're in a commodities bubble that could burst. Stay with us. How good it is. Welcome back. It's 7 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And we're having a great visit with our good friend, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg. By the way, my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. No barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us. Use our stuff. And smallbusinessadvocate.com is where you can find the show and the newsletter and the blog and the archives and the Brain Trust members and the articles and all the other things we do here. And askjim.biz is where you can get small business answers now. Just type in your question and we'll give you some answers. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest. As I said, he's chief economist for the NFIB. And Bill, give us your website too, please.
Smallbiz.org. That's smallbus.org.
.org. And of course,
and
NFIB.
NFIB.com.
Yep. Outstanding organization I've been a member of for a long time. Bill, and by the way, folks, Bill's report is available every month on that website that he just gave you, smallbiz.org and smallbus.org, also on my website, also on the NFIB.com's website. So check him out and see what he has. It's plain English, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to see what small business owners, what your peers are saying across the country, he writes these reports in plain English. And Bill, we thank you for that. Bill, what do you think about, well, I'll tell you what, before I ask you about the overall economy, I want to ask you my bubble question. Do you think we're experiencing a commodities bubble, or is the price that we're having really 100% a result of supply and demand?
Well, it's supply and demand, all right. The problem is that amongst the demanders are not only the eaters of corn, as an example, but the speculators about corn. So if all these people who think corn prices are going to go up say, okay, I'm going to buy it now. That is, I'm going to buy a contract for future delivery so I own it, and I'm going to do that because I think the price is going to go up. And, of course, Their hope is they get to flip it. So it's kind of like the housing bubble all over again now, mm-hmm. for commodities, for gold, for oil, for food stuff, for copper, for all of these things. So we have a bubble there. A lot of money is running there now, and it's making prices higher than you would find in a normal market.
So do you think there really is a bubble for corn, for oil? Do you think that? And so it's official, folks. Bill Dunkelberg says we have a bubble, which I've been suspecting for a long time. Do you think that bubble's going to burst?
Right, we're heading for a slide in a lot of these prices, and
when do you think that'll happen?
Sometime over the next 6 to 9 months.
From your mouth to God's ears, Bill.
Well, you know, one thing about, of course, the food crops is that the shortages can't last any more than a year because we can plant again.
Right.
Other things are a little harder to solve sometimes.
But. Right. But this oil thing is very troubling, isn't it?
Well, the oil thing is, you know, again, that's a very big speculative bubble. Plus, you know, we're not getting a lot of extra help from the oil producers. And, again, you know, I guess why should they? You know, they're happy with these high prices. They've got money just pouring into their countries. They don't know what to do with it. They're buying things all over the world. And
they're coming back to the United States and buying our stuff.
They certainly are doing that.
Because of the exchange rate.
Thing. Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, we're on sale, and people are over here spending money.
Mm-hmm. What about the overall economy for the next 6 to 12 months? What do you think?
Well, it's going to do better than it did the last 12 months, and I think that won't be something stunning, but we'll see the growth rate, you know, doubling from 0.6 to 1.2 is not a whole lot, but it's, again, headed in the right direction. The housing market's going to remain a drag, and the consumer is going to be a drag. They're not going to be as ebullient as they've been in the past with all of that spending, so, and they're 70% of the economy. So I think, you know, we'll see positive growth rates, and you noticed yesterday housing starts actually moved up.
Mm-hmm.
There are still too many houses in Florida and Southern California that'll take years to get rid
of
those.
More than a 10-year inventory, I was told last week.
Yeah, something like that. I estimate 5 in Cape Coral, where I am some of the time. And so there it's going to be slow. But for the rest of the country, we'll be getting back to business slowly but surely, and things won't be nearly as bad 6 months from now as they are today. And today they're really not that bad. We still employ a near record percentage of the population, and wages are moving forward even though inflation is chewing away at it.
Bill, I've been in front of four small business audiences in the last 45 days. Tomorrow will be my fifth. And I have not received any kind of information from these groups that they thought we were in a recession.
Right. Well, I think you have to wonder about this whole recession thing. The University of Michigan does monthly surveys of random samples of consumers. 9 out of 10 of them think we're in a recession. We've never had a recession with 5% unemployment rate.
Exactly. This is the weirdest. Whatever we're in right now is the weirdest one I've ever experienced, Bill.
The media recession.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you. Thanks, Bill, for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure.
Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back, I promise, next month, in fact. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.